at every hill and valley, a level road appear. Then greet the King of Glory, foretold in sacred story. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. God's people see him coming, your own eternal King. Palm branches strew before him, spread garments, shout and sing. God's promise will not fail you, no more shall doubt assail you. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. Then fling the gates wide open to greet your promised King. Your King, yet every nation its tribute to should bring. All lands bow down before him, all nations now adore him. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. Then his earthly kingdom, it comes from heaven above. His rule is peace and freedom, and justice, truth, and love. So let your praise be sounding for kindness so abounding. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word.
The congregation is invited to stand for the opening versicles for Advent. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God shall come. He does not keep silence.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make his path straight.
Shower, O heaven, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation may spout forth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We pray the collect. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 52, starting at verse 13.
Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from men whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. From Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
We confess our faith using the second article of the Apostles' Creed and the meaning of the Apostles' Creed, the second article, as written in the small catechism. We read together.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity.
This is most certainly true.
The congregation may be seated. The sermon reflects on all three of these passages, but to start, I read from Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21 again. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The explanation of the second article of the Creed, which Martin Luther wrote and put in his small catechism, which we use to this day. It's a very interesting part of his explanation. For when we look at that portion, what does this mean, and that paragraph there, maybe you've realized it before, maybe you haven't noticed it, but that is all one sentence. The entire paragraph is one sentence. And that's the way Martin Luther wrote it, one long sentence. When we look at that, we look carefully at that long paragraph, we see that it actually has a very short, simple sentence that is the root, the foundation of that whole paragraph. And that is, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's the main part of that whole paragraph, that great big long sentence. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Now then you'll see all kinds of paraphrases and paragraphs and descriptions and things in there that talks about who Jesus is. He's true God and true man. And then how is he my Lord? And that is critical for us to understand what Christmas is about, that Jesus is Lord and what he's done for us. I haven't read it anywhere specifically that Luther was thinking of the passage out of 1 Corinthians, but it seems likely. When Paul says, no one can say, except by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is Lord. And that little confession, Jesus is Lord, is often considered to be the first kind of formal confession of the Christians. And Paul says it, Jesus is Lord. And that is the root of what Luther put in this explanation. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. How is then Jesus Lord? And a good portion of that paragraph talks about that. He uses really three main verbs there. He has redeemed me, purchased, and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, no, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Last week we talked about and thought about how God the Father wanted to save his family, his children, Adam and Eve, and all that were born from them, and to protect them from Satan, protect them from death, to pull them back. Well, how did God the Father do that? By sending his Son. And his Son did not achieve that with gold or silver, but with his suffering and death, his holy, precious blood. There's many Bible passages that talk about the coming Savior and what he would do in the Old Testament. And so I picked out these two, just a short one, short passage from Genesis 3. and also a significant passage from Isaiah 52. But in Genesis 3, we see that what God wanted to do and would accomplish through Abraham's offspring, the ones who would come from Abraham, was not just for Abraham's offspring, but it was for all of humankind, all humans. For he says that in you all, and interesting, the families, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God chose Abraham and his line, his descendants, from which that one male seed, male offspring, all the way back from Eve, would follow, and then through Abraham and through his descendants, all the families would be saved. It's a universal salvation that God wants to give. Whoever believes will be saved. He wants all to believe. Not all do, but it's meant for all. The Isaiah 52 passage, those verses that I read, is from our larger portion. It's often called one of the servant songs. And it begins in Isaiah 52:15 and goes longer than what I read up to Isaiah 53:12. But I just chose out that part to read for tonight. And you may have noticed as we read through that oftentimes we hear that in Lent or Holy Week or even Good Friday. But when we think of what the angel said to Joseph in the dream, the Matthew passage that we just read, "You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The fundamental thing about this baby, Joseph, the angel is telling him, is he's going to save his people from their sins. His name even indicates that. And that certainly flows out of that prophecy from Isaiah 52. Just considering Isaiah 52 and 53, verses 4, 5, and 6. Jesus, the prophet Isaiah says, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquities. And upon Jesus was a chastisement, and that means punishment, that brought us peace. And the Lord, God, Yahweh, laid on him the iniquity of us all. This prophecy, this part of the prophecy is so sure and certain that it's, did you notice, it's in the past tense. Not future tense, but the past tense. Isaiah the prophet is saying, this one to be born, this one who is coming, who's going to do that, who's going to fulfill what was promised to Adam and Eve, that the Satan's head would be crushed. This one, it's so certain, he speaks of it as it's already done. The promise is certain and sure. He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. And also the prophet used that we, us, all, he includes himself in what this promised Messiah would do. This work is the promised work of the Son of God. This dying and rising again is not what the Father did, is not what the Holy Spirit did, it's what God the Son did, his specific work. That baby to be born to Mary and Joseph, this was his task. And Mary and Joseph knew it from the beginning. And they were good, faithful people of the covenant, Israelites, Jews, who knew the prophecies from Isaiah, the promises to King David, the promises to Abraham. When the angel said, "This is the one, this is your baby, this is what he will do," it's very significant to them. He's come. Then just a few things to think about from those angels' words in the dream to Joseph. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he, and it's interesting, there's an emphasis that doesn't come through in many of the English translations. For he himself, it's going to be Jesus, this one, he himself will save his people from their sins. That name Jesus, it's related to the name Joshua, actually. And as we heard in the program from the Women of Zion and the meal and the program that was presented, that name Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. His very name meant the Lord, Yahweh of the Old Testament, saves. So wrapped in that whole name of Jesus, which both Mary and Joseph heard they were supposed to give the baby, means that he is going to do all these things. And thus, in my mind, I was thinking, it's right and appropriate that we also remember Isaiah 52 and 53, the suffering servant, because that's what this baby is all about when he grows up. One other thing there. When the angel said to Joseph in the dream, he shall save his people from their sins, that word there, and I've mentioned it in one sermon and a couple times in Bible class, that Greek word there, sozo, he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus said several times throughout the Gospels, when he healed somebody, he said, your faith has saved you. Sometimes, however, it's translated, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. But that word there is always sozo. And do you see what's happening there? The angel told Joseph he is going to save his people from their sins. And then as Jesus grows up and during his ministry, people have faith in them, in him, and they're saved. Exactly what the angel said. The exact words the angel said, Jesus does as a grown man in his ministry. When we think of the baby Jesus being born of Mary and prepare to celebrate that and sing about it, it's good to know always, why is this baby being born? What is he going to do? He is going to fulfill what was promised to Eve. He is going to fulfill what was promised to Abraham, that all the families of the world would be blessed. He is going to fulfill what Isaiah the prophet said, that he would suffer, die, and rise again. That is what this baby is about. It is about our salvation. Jesus calls us to look to him, to be comforted and made whole by him, because he is the Savior. He is our focus. The Father has given him to us. And as we'll think about next week, the Holy Spirit puts faith in us to know that Jesus is the one and to be certain about it. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to not be distracted or dissuaded or discouraged about anything in this life or what Christmas is or what Christmas is not all around us, but to know that Christmas is about your Son being born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Lord, to save us. And we ask you to encourage us with this good news. Encourage us with these words that the angel gave to Joseph, so that we may know and we may be certain we are in your family, for you have saved us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, Come Thou Precious Ransom Come, 350.
Come, thou precious ransom, come, only hope for sinful mortals. Come, O Savior of the world, open our to thee all portals. Come, thy beauty let us see, anxiously we wait for thee. Enter now my waiting heart, glorious King and Lord most holy. Dwell in me and ne'er depart, though I am but poor and lowly. Oh, what riches will be mine when thou art my guest divine. My hosannas and my palms graciously receive, I pray. Best I can, Savior, I will homage pay thee, and in faith I will embrace, Lord, thy merit through thy grace. Hail, Hosanna, David's son, Jesus, hear our supplication. Let thy kingdom scepter crown bring us blessing and salvation, that forever we may sing, Hail, Hosanna to our King.
The congregation is invited to stand for prayer. We pray the colic for God's word among us. Blessed Lord,
you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning.
Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart,
that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
All praise to thee, my God, this night, for all the blessings of the light. Keep me, O keep me, King of kings, beneath thine own almighty wings.
Forgive me, Lord, for the dear Son, the ill that I this day have done, that with the world, myself, and thee, I ere I sleep at peace may be.
Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the awful day. Oh, may my soul in thee repose, and may sweet sleep mine eyelids close, sleep that shall me more vigorous make to serve my God when I awake. When in the night I sleepless lie, my soul with heavenly thoughts supply, let no ill dreams disturb my rest, no powers of darkness me molest. Praise God.